This summer, the Office of Sustainability is focusing our sustainable spotlight on people that are doing good sustainable work around the Charleston community. You can join us for more podcasts at synergies.cfc.edu.
Well, today on this lovely afternoon, Tanner and I will be talking with Sarah Poe, the market manager of the Folly Beach Farmers Market, for our weekly community spotlight. We are currently sitting outside at the Folly River Park, where the farmers market occurs every Monday. So we're going to start, Sarah, with you telling us a little bit about yourself and how you first became interested in sustainability.
Yeah, thank you girls for having me, and thank you for all you all do with sustainability. It's really exciting to meet people like you all that are passionate about this. So I'm originally from West Virginia. That's where my family is from, and I grew up there, and I come from a long line of farmers. A lot of people in my family were farmers and preachers, and so now I kind of tease that I'm like a preacher for farmers. So I moved here about 15 years ago. I've been a photographer for 20 years, and so that was my work for a long time. But I've always been passionate about the planet and about sustainability.
So you started here in 2015 as the market manager. Why did you decide to accept the position?
I had seen a need for this in our community, and I took a little time to think about what I could envision that we could do with in our community here, and I decided to come on board. My daughter was interested too, and we had all kinds of ideas, and now it's exciting 3 years later to see all those ideas flourishing.
Definitely.
So what does a typical day at the farmers market look like for you?
For the market managers, the day starts early because we start on the computer, letting everybody know. You girls know about that, all the social media stuff, letting everybody know about it. And a lot of times then my daughter and I will go to the beach and invite people out to pass out postcards and just let tourists know that that's what we're having happen. And then we get here early in the afternoon and help everybody set up. We have other market managers that help us. Angie and Giovanni help, and we help everybody get into place, and the market starts about 4 and it goes till 8. So
like a typical day, do you guys typically have like a music performance going on as well?
Yeah, the market starts with yoga every Monday at 4. Sometimes we have kids yoga with Melody, sometimes Jennifer Bahanas leads us in an all ages yoga. So that starts at 4, and then our music starts at 5 and goes till 8. We have a talent show coming up in July. We try to have little fun events throughout the year.
So you mentioned that you guys pass out postcards. So do you typically have a good bit of tourists and people on vacation coming to the market?
We do. And after doing this 3 years, you'll recognize some people come back, or you'll connect with them after they leave the island. So we get to make those connections here and with the people that visit us every year. And then their families come back every year and they get excited to come here. Yeah, it is cool.
So what do you hope that people gain from coming to this farmers market or being involved with it?
A lot of things. I think that we're a very warm and welcoming community here, and we have that to offer. Not just the community on Folly Beach and in Charleston, but all of our vendors are just amazing, warm people. And so I think that we welcome. It's a space where everybody can feel welcome here, and that's what we want to create. We want to create a space where you can come every Monday and see somebody that you know or meet somebody new, and also learn about appreciating where our food comes from, appreciating where our clothes come from. And I think once you start getting to know the farmers that grow your food and people that are making your soaps and this and that, and knowing the person behind the project is important, then it helps us appreciate where we're spending our money, because that's where we impact the world for change, is with our money. Is how we spend our money.
Voting with the dollar.
Voting with the dollar, absolutely.
Well, that leads into my question of what types of vendors do you have here? Because I know you have local farmers, but it seems like you have a lot of artisans and things like that as well.
We do. We try to bring in people that share our mission of sustainability, and so we want to know before you join, like, how are your products made? What do you use in your products? You know, is this grown organically? And so that's an important criteria for us. So we have like an amazing assortment of vendors, and we offer a lot of vegan options, a lot of gluten-free options for all the different diets, and our vendors are very educated in that. So if you're somebody who's just been put on a gluten-free diet and you don't even know where to start, you can come and talk to Annie or Brava Bowls or the Trace Palmas, the Acai Bowls, and talk to them about wellness, and they're here to help you. That's where you can meet people like face to face, you know.
So you definitely have this large aspect of culture in the farmers market. How are other ways that you guys keep the culture of the community?
Well, the first of every month we have a Gullah Geechee celebration, and the Gullah Geechee is that is the cultural community that's here from Charleston, that's Sierra Leone, and when the slaves came here, that's the community that was built here. And so sharing that culture, Giovanni does a great job first of every month having Gullah Geechee storytelling and dancing, and yeah, so people that visit and people that are here can know where that comes from, because a lot of our food comes from that culture.
That's really awesome. I like that it's kind of like just like one big like community. Like you can come and ask questions, like you can learn about the culture and stuff. How have you seen like a positive growth with the farmers market?
Oh, in lots of ways. I love it. Like sometimes our vendors, like you're helping them get a market base, and then what happens sometimes is that they get wings and fly away, you know, they go on to do other things. And so that's exciting to watch people grow and then move on from here, and then have them look back and say, oh, the farmers market was a place where I learned how to start my business. And we hear it from customers and people that come all the time too, like, it is a warm space where if you're having a bad day, you know, you're going to kind of come here and we're going to cheer you up, you know, and celebrate life with everybody.
I feel like I have so many just unique stories even just from coming here. Like sometimes, like this one vendor, he makes these metal sculptures. I don't know if he's still here, but he had this really cool pelican one I wanted to get my mom for my birthday. For her birthday, and I reached out to, it was probably you or somebody along the lines, and they got me in contact with him, and he came to the farmer's market that specific week because I really wanted to get the pelican from him. You know, just like
cool
little stories like that. Yeah.
And sometimes we'll, like, if somebody's sick, some of our vendors are making soups to give to people in the community. I mean, it's just really beautiful.
And I think that definitely stems into what sustainability is, you know. Mm-hmm. It starts with the community, it starts with the connections and mm-hmm. keeping the culture within it.
Yeah, because you can't sustain something if you don't have a connection with it or if you don't care about it.
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely like the education is so important.
So what do you feel you've gained personally from working with the farmers market?
Oh my gosh, I've grown so much. I've learned so much. It's a joy, really. It's like meeting all these people that share your passions, and just getting to know these people over years at a time. Like it's been really awesome. And to see this, like the park here was built for a farmer's market stand, and that's why those stands were built, and then it wasn't being used in that way. So to see the park be able to be used in this way is really awesome as well.
I think maybe my next question would be, what do you want to see happen in the future of the farmers market? Do you have any certain plans or visions? Or
We're going to continue to grow. We want to add more kids education, things like that, to the farmers market. We want to add more cultural nights. I would like to have chefs come down here every once in a while and do something cool where they taught the kids. I think that really the biggest thing I want to do in the next year is more youth centered, like with the schools and growing that part of it, because we have to teach our children to eat well, to respect their food.
That's where it starts.
And so yeah,
they care about their community.
Absolutely, get them to volunteer on farms. All of our schools need to have gardens, and we have some. We have Green Heart that's doing that. We have Earth Heart Growers. You know, we have different programs that are doing it, but every school really deserves that.
So what is your vision of like sustainability as a whole, like not just like the farmers market, but just community based or just like globally?
It's a big question. That's a good question. I would suggest reading a book called Braiding Sweetgrass. It's a really amazing book. Our mantra for the farmers market is the life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness, which is that we have a relationship with the land that's been disconnected. And I think the farmers market is one way where we can reconnect with that, you know, and it becomes a daily practice then, you know. I don't know if y'all have ever watched the documentary on the men who started Patagonia.
I've heard it's really good. I've never seen it.
They came and visited during one of our sustainability weeks at the college. Yeah, and talked. It was really cool.
Yeah, just how their journey led them to like wanting to preserve land and protect land, and that's important. Like, we have to stand up for that, and it does matter where we buy our products and what kind of products we buy. And that's why I'm so passionate about it.
I think that's about it. I do want to just go back, and we don't have to include this in the podcast, but just talking to you about Standing Rock for a little bit.
Yeah.
Your involvement with that, because I think that's really interesting.
We had, the park was going to be closed for 2 weeks to reseed the grass here. And so Monet and I were going to go to do museum tours for 2 weeks. And we'd been following it on Native American news. And that week before it, both of us were just felt in our hearts a calling for to go there instead of going to the museum tours. So we and a group of 7 or 8 from Charleston drove to North Dakota in September, and the plan was to stay 2 weeks and just go to there and say, what they do to you, they're going to do to me. I'm your ally. I'm your sister. How can we help you? And after a few days there, both my daughter and I said we felt called to be there longer. So we came home and re-upped on supplies and talked to our community here, and they helped us. They donated all kinds of supplies and sent them back with us, and we ended up being there for the rest of the time until we were evicted, and it changed our lives forever, for sure.
What an experience. I remember, because I guess it was just 2 years now, and I remember I was in like an intro to sustainability class, and we were talking about it, and we were like following it the whole time. So
yeah, we came and did a talk at the college, at the sustainability your coffee hour.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and Dakota Nelson, who was in that class that day, who's from West Virginia, talked to me after, and he said, could I come and meet you there? And I said, absolutely. And he did. He came to Standing Rock. He came around Thanksgiving, which was a really intense time at Standing Rock. We had like a blizzard coming, and the vets were coming in, and Dakota came. And he stayed for a few weeks, and he said at the end of his time, what he had come away with was that he was supposed to go back to his homeland and make a difference in that. And so he went back to West Virginia. It gave me hope, because I'd been an activist for a while, and it can get discouraging. And even though I'm like very positive all the time, it can get discouraging. And when I went there, I met thousands and thousands of people from all over the world. Ecuador, Russia, India, you name it. Like, people from all over the world came. Peace activists, you know, people that were passionate about the planet, about indigenous rights. And so now I know I've got a team all around the world that's doing the same work. So it gives me hope, because they all went back to their places and to continue the work, you know. You know, so it wasn't just about the Dakota Access Pipeline. It was about the people and about where they still are 500 years later. Yeah. And so now I have a different mission, because I have a new mission, because I have family in North Dakota on the reservation, and youth that I talk to all the time. And so it changed my life in that way, because I can't just come home and forget about that. So we're working on starting a youth center back at Standing Rock and in Pine Ridge. And so that's going to be the next project that I'm working on, is building a sustainable, like a cob house for the youth, so that they can learn beading and just have like a safe space to go to and hang out. So that's the next thing on my list.
That just about wraps it up. That was wonderful.
Thanks, ladies.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.